I want you to open to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs, chapter 30. I'm going to 100% guarantee you what you're about to hear will not be heard in any other pulpit in America today. Once we get into this, you're going to know why. You won't hear this anywhere else, I can guarantee you, because what I'm about to say is not politically correct. But I have to tell you, I'm going to say what I'm going to say because I'm not running for any offices. I'm not. What we share today I hope that somehow this can penetrate down into our spirit in such a way that we will fundamentally be different people. Proverbs 30 verse 11 through verse 17. Proverbs 30 verse 11 through 17. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. But the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valleys will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Father, take the word today now in these next few moments and speak to us personally and profoundly. And I don't know how it's possible for any mortal man to do what I'm about to pray. But I pray that something will happen in this service that will forever change hearts. Because what we're saying is so important. What we're about to share is so critical. It is literally a fulcrum around which truly successful, blessed lives revolve. Help us today and to have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shouted hallelujah. In 1964, Sidney Poitier became the first black actor to win an Academy Award for his role in a movie entitled The Lilies of the Field. The Lilies of the Field was a novel that was actually written in 62 by William Barrett. But it's the protagonist of the work is a certain Homer Smith. Homer Smith is essentially a jack of all trades. And there's a whole series of works about the odysseys and adventures of his life. But in Lilies of the Field, he is making his way across the United States in a sort of beat-up kind of wagon he was driving, and finds himself in an Arizona farm town of sorts where a mother superior and her East German nuns are trying to carve out a church and build a chapel in the arid desert southwest. And when Homer Smith shows up, who's essentially just a handyman of all imagination, they suddenly see in him the answer to their prayers. That this dude is going to build them their church. And they kind of sort of trick him into hanging around, and for room and board, essentially, he works for them. And eventually they get this business constructed. But the Mother Superior, who is kind of leading the horde of sorts, has got character flaw. Homer Smith figures it out. And he's doing all this stuff, doing all this labor and all this work. And finally, through a trick of his own, for the first time in her life, he convinces the mother superior to say two words. Thank you. That's really strange, isn't it? That's really inconsistent. I mean, you think about it. How can a person who is one of real faith see a problem with that connection? You would think the people who espouse the name of God under whatever persuasion you might choose, you would think they ought to be the most thankful. But strangely, in the lilies of the field, he has to play a ruse to get her to do it. And when it happens, she's shocked that it happened. Now listen. Thanksgiving isn't just a day that was set apart back as far ago as 1863 in the middle of the U.S. Civil War when President Lincoln issued a presidential order. And we have essentially been identifying a day each year since that time. But it's more than that. There is an attitude of gratitude. And if Cicero, the Roman poet, was right, thanksgiving isn't just the most important of all virtues, it's the parent of all virtues. You can't teach a child anything more important than being thankful. Because a child who is thankful will view life totally different than one that is not. Stay with me here. I told you I'm not preaching politically correct today. We need to somehow, no matter where we live or who we live with or what we're up against, we need to somehow embrace with both arms a spirit of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, again, isn't just a holiday. It's actually a lifestyle. And in it, there are aspects that make the person that emanates Thanksgiving, they're a whole lot easier to live with. They're a whole lot easier to work with. They're a whole lot easier to rub shoulders with. And we have this really contrasting images between that which and that which is not. The one that is and the one that isn't. Now hear this today. Thanksgiving, or the words thank you, carry with them a sense of indebtedness. Really, when you say thank you to someone, you're identifying a debt owed. Someone's done something either that you could not do for yourself or did not do for yourself. Sometimes it's things you're not capable of doing that you can never repay. But in saying the idea of thank you, you're saying, I recognize I owe a debt for something that has occurred. And in recognizing that, I realize I may never even fully be able to repay it. But by saying thank you, I'm expressing appreciation. I'm expressing gratitude. And I don't know how about you, but when I start thinking about thanksgiving and thankfulness, and I start thinking about all the people and all of the persons and places that I have been blessed by that I could never repay, oh my God. I start thinking about it. I was thinking about it driving in today. 2 hours from the house here, and I started, if I started talking about and started sharing of all the persons and ones ought to be thankful, I'd spend the rest of this sermon. I've only got 17 minutes left. I would spend the rest of the time, and I wouldn't even be able to get to any comment on that. Because there are people who have made an investment in me. And they've made an investment in you. An investment that you may never, ever be able to repay. And it may seem trite, but how important to be able to say to individuals and to persons, you know what? You've done something for me. I try to be careful not to be melodramatic and overstate stuff. But you can't talk enough about this. I remember years and years ago when I was traveling, literally I was traveling full time as an evangelist all over the world, and I was preaching in South Georgia, and there was a family, and I can't go through all the details, but there was a family that had come to the altar for ministry. The family was really busted up, and they were trying to find a way of pulling it back together. There'd been some moral failure between mom and dad, and previously mom and dad had been in a position of ministry, and the church they kind of thought had gone after them, and the kids were just reeling. They were just reeling. And they had come forward in that particular service where I was ministering that Sunday. They had come forward, and I didn't know anything about the story until somewhat later. And I was trying to minister, and I noticed that mom and dad were very, very broken, but the kids were very, very hard. Very, very hard. And somehow I was trying to get through to the kids and try to find some way of encouraging them and ministering them and blessing them and helping them any way it might be possible. And one of the girls of the kids that were staying there with the family, she looked at me while I was trying to minister to the family, and she looked at me and she just glared at me and she said, "You know, this church ruined our lives. This church absolutely destroyed our lives." And I didn't know all the story at the time. I found out about it later once I started, after the service was over, talked to some folk, and they shared some of the details, and it was heartbreaking. It was absolutely heartbreaking. But at the altar, I was trying to turn the situation carefully, gradually, to try to get them to focus away from their hurt toward healing. That isn't always easy to do when people embrace an offense and they don't want to turn loose of it. But I was trying my best, and I was taught. And finally, I said, I looked at this girl, and I said, I'm really sorry. Whatever happened to you, I don't know the details. But I said, you know what? There are still things that we can be thankful for. In spite of this hurt, in spite of this disappointment, in spite of these setbacks, there are still things we can be thankful for. And I started talking to her about some of the things she could be thankful for, and their family could be thankful for. And I said, you know, and I said, this is something that we can make a part of our life. And I'll never forget what she did. She just, in a second, she stopped me and she said, "But you know," and she said like that, "you know, I can't say thanks the rest of my life." Well, her pertness kind of went all over me. And I looked back at her, I said, "Oh, yes, you can. And you better." Can I tell you? Thanksgiving is not some aw shucks thank over your shoulder parting shot. It is something we should be like doing the rest of our lives. Because you've got a lot and I've got a lot we don't deserve. That God has blessed us, poured His Spirit out on us. See, the not thankful person doesn't view it like we do. We're like, "I've got better than I deserve," called the grace of God. But the thankless person says, "You know what? Whatever I got, I deserve better." Right? It isn't that what they've got, they think what they got, they should even have better than that. So they're not thankful for their cell phone. They want the newest iPhone. I want to be careful how far I start walking down this road. But you know what I'm talking about. You relate to people like that. You rub shoulders with people. God forbid if you have anybody within, I can't even say that. I'll just say within your sphere of influence. Keep it really politically correct here. You may have people even within your sphere of influence that are not real thankful people, that it isn't just this. They want better than that. I preached a funeral within the last 12 months for a dear woman that we knew pretty well and had a relationship with the family. And years and years and years and years ago, this couple, now we got to know them through some other associations, but the guy, the man of the family, was a mama's boy. And mama was everything to this guy. His wife never quite measured up to mama. Nobody else has ever seen anything like that around here. But I mean, but it was all mama. I mean, for him, it was his mom. You talk about his mom. And I got to know him and actually was instrumental in not just leading him to the Lord, but I was instrumental in leading him into the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he did a lot of missionary work, and I had a part in that. And so privately, he had told me he had a hard time saying thanks to his wife. He loved his wife dearly, but, you know, he was kind of mama's boy and mom. And he said, you know, I don't know why it is, but I have such a hard, her name was Jane. He said, I have a hard time telling Jane thanks. I said, why? Just do it. I don't know if it was a mental block or a pride thing or because he'd been such a mama's boy, he didn't quite know how to transfer that on to his wife or what. But anyway, he told me privately, he said, I don't know what it is. He said, but I just have such a hard time telling her how much I love her and how much I appreciate her. So we were in their house the day after Thanksgiving. We weren't there on Thanksgiving Day, but we were there the day after Thanksgiving. And evidently his wife must have put out a spread because, I mean, there was all sorts of food left over. And so we were in the house and spending some time with him. She said, would you like anything to eat? I don't turn meals down very often. And I mean, if you're going to offer me, if it's free, it's for me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she was offering a meal. She's a great cook. I said, sure, put it out there. And I was watching this dude who was the mama's boy, who's told me privately, had a hard time telling his wife how much he loved her and how much he appreciated her and all that stuff. I was watching him, and the guy looked like a steam shovel. He was just steam shovel. He was just pouring it in of what she'd put. I thought, oh, I got a chance right now. I got a chance. I thought, I'm going to set this dude up. I'm going to give him the opportunity of praising his wife. This one he has a hard time telling he loves, has a hard time telling how much he appreciates her. I'm going to set him up. There is no way he's going to miss his chance. He's just steam shoveling in that mac and cheese and that dressing and that ham and that turkey. And he's just tearing into that. I thought, I got a chance to do it. I'll do it right now, right in front of her. Why, there's a not miss opportunity. he didn't know what I was doing, you know. But I thought, I'm gonna give him a chance. I'm gonna give him an opportunity. This is a God moment. So he's eating long and pulling it in. And I don't know, his name was Donnie. I said, Donnie, that's some pretty good vittles there, huh? He goes, well, it's all right. But you ought to taste my mom's mac and cheese. Oh my God. I said, I just shook my head. I thought, oh, what a golden opportunity. That doesn't seem real hard, does it? Will you listen to me here? Bear with me. We miss opportunities more than we ought to say thanks to the people who most desperately need to hear it. And it really doesn't cost us much at all, except maybe just a little bit of pride.
Well, you got to be careful, preacher. You start talking like that, people get the big head.
Let me tell you something. You let God help them with their pride. Why don't you edify them and build them up like you're supposed to? The people that are nearest and dearest to us don't need to hear about all our criticism and all of our concerns about this and that that we think ought to be different. They're going to hear about enough of that living in this world. But I'll tell you what folks that are nearest and dearest to us need to hear is how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, how we thank God for them. This passage in Proverbs, I didn't write it. Oh my God, it's in the Bible. What gall for a preacher to preach on that on Thanksgiving Sunday. But it talks about a generation who has teeth like swords. And some of the stuff that people say to each other. And sometimes like, oh, you know, what is it about interpersonal relationships that somehow we don't make the connection? But how much we need to. There are, yes, times when things happen. Yes, there are times when stuff has to be looked at. Yes, but there's a time and place for that. But there were also these incredible moments. There was a young, my son was young. He was on a couple of traveling basketball teams. And there was a young boy that we knew through that association that grew up in a house that was really legalistic and really super critical and judgmental. I knew something of the parents. I mean, those parents just pounded on those kids because they wanted the kids to turn out right. It was the parents' thought. And they just, I mean, they went after those kids. They were always really on them about stuff they shouldn't do and things they shouldn't and so on and so forth. And this one boy that played ball with my son, he was a really good kid. But you could tell he really had issues with self-worth and self-value because he lived in a really critical environment. Real legalistic. It was supposedly a faith environment, but they just railed on those kids. And we heard him at times do it. And you know what? We don't want you to turn out like that and looking like that, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, so this boy that was a friend of our son's, he had played on a couple of teams, and then they had a new coach. They had a new coach come to coach this traveling team my son was on, and this guy made it one of his missions to praise that boy. That boy who came out of that critical, judgmental, legalistic environment, that coach decided he was going to pour himself into that boy by praising him and commending him and complimenting him. I watched it happen with my own eyes. That kid became a warrior. Before, he could hardly even lift his head going down a court, and suddenly that kid became a monster. You couldn't stop him. It was like a totally different kid. The only difference was that somebody decided to praise him, to commend him. We're going to hear enough negative stuff living in this world. May it never be said of us that we're critical to the point that we're somehow disabling the people that are nearest and closest to us. We need to find ways, even in difficult moments, to praise and to encourage the society that is, you'd think in America, we've got so much that we would be the most thankful people anywhere. But it's almost always the most prosperous of people that are most gripey of people. It's generally not the people that don't have much because they don't have much to gripe about. They typically don't have much and they're very, very thankful in most cases, not all, but in most cases, what little they got. But it seems like when we get some stuff and we acquire some place and some position that all of a sudden it's very, very easy to get a little bit too big for our own britches, as my grandfather used to say, and to suddenly start to view ourselves in a way that maybe we don't appreciate that what we got was the result of God's great blessing to us. Do you realize that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning? You're not just there. Thank God for your hard work. Thank God for your ingenuity. Thank God for your training. Thank God for your education. But can I also tell you this? If you're a believer, if you're washed in the blood, it isn't just what you're doing. It's also the favor of God that rests upon you. And let us be thankful for that. Well, give him a praise offering today, beloved. Come on. Let's magnify him. And I want to double doggone dare you. Right now, Thanksgiving Eve times 3. To make a decision, beginning right now today, to say, I am thankful. I am thankful. I know it's going to be hard for some. Well, you know. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful. But I'm thankful. Our situation
Maybe you've prayed for our family. We've shared consistently with you about things that have been happening. Our little grandson has become involved with a Christian leader that has greatly influenced him. At 4 years old, our little grandson with this Christian leader was taught those words. He taught him the very first thing you do every day is get up and say, I am thankful. 4 years old. I have seen an incredible difference in that little guy's life. Since he started making a decision at 4 years old to say, I am thankful. And if you had walked down some of the roads that little guy's walked down, it's not easy to say you're thankful when you're living in that. But you know what? Even a cesspool can become a garden. If you think. True story. True story. A Chinese pastor was thrown into essentially a concentration camp. And they put him in with the other inmates, and he began to influence so many people that the jail was becoming a church. He was leading people to Christ. They were having prayer meetings and gatherings, and they had to get him separated. They kept, every time they put him somewhere else, the same kind of thing happened. And they thought, what are we going to do to shame this guy? To completely humiliate him so he'll quit winning everyone to Christ. So they thought they would put him tending the cesspool of the prison. And they thought the shame and the odor and the embarrassment would be enough to break him. But this Chinese pastor realized that when he was attending the cesspool, nobody bothered him. Nobody ever gave him a hard time. Nobody wanted to be around. And so he had all of this time to be just him and God. And I read the testimony. And his favorite song became the hymn. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. He determined to turn his cesspool into a garden. Let me tell you, it's all about our attitude. It really is. And you know what? Only you choose that. You make a decision how you're going to look at your world and how you're going to relate to others. And I want to challenge every one of us today to decide, like my little grandson has been taught and has changed his life, I am thankful. I want you to look at your family today and say, God, in spite of it, I'm thankful. I want you to look at your health today and say, in spite of all the aches and pains, I'm thankful. You know, they say after 40, things begin to wear out, spread out, and fall out. Some of us have been through all that. I've been told after you turn in your 60th year where I'm at now, they say that what doesn't hurt doesn't work. And I feel some of that. But I'm thankful. If you're not thankful for anything else today, would you be thankful that you have your sanity? Would you thank God you're not insane? Now, I realize some people may even question that. Let me tell you something. Some of you know what I'm about to say, but I have been all over the world, and I want to tell you today I'm thankful I'm an American. I still believe with all of my heart we live in the greatest country on the face of the globe, and I've been all over the world, and every time I come home, I am so thankful to be back to these good old U.S. of A. It's so much of our life revolves around our attitude toward things. You know, we don't deserve all this. God has blessed us in ways. If I don't know all your stories, I know some of them, but if we could just take a moment, and I know there have been some hard places and bad knocks.
I could tell you stories you would not believe I told you that we've walked through. But somehow Thanksgiving changes our attitude. It helps us to view the world differently than we might normally, and that's what makes us not just natural, but supernatural. Because when everyone else is bailing out, somehow we hang in there. When everyone else wants to quit, we keep plowing on. Somehow we look at our marriages differently, we look at our families differently, we look at our churches differently, we look at our country differently, we look at our leaders differently, we look at our educational sources differently. Hey, listen, life is never perfect. No matter what you're talking about, it is never going to be perfect. But Thanksgiving helps you to deal with the gap between the ideal and the real. Here's the ideal up here everyone wants to live at, but no one ever gets there. Here's the real where it all really shakes down. And the difference between the ideal and the real is called transition, adjustment, and Thanksgiving. Somehow we say to ourselves, I may never get here, but somehow in the process, Thanksgiving is going to make it a whole lot easier living here between the ideal and the real. And things may not all be exactly the way we want them to be. We may still have faith. There's nothing wrong with praying. And believe it, isn't it interesting that when we're talking about the issue of worry in Philippians 4, verse 6 and following, the scripture says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about any. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, somehow, when we're praying and we are supplicating before God, we're supposed to mix that with thanksgiving. Well, preacher, how do you do that? Can I give you one little tidbit here? This will be worth the price of admission. Here we go. Here's how you do it. The moment you start your prayer every day, begin like this. God, I would like to thank you. I want to challenge you. Listen, this is not difficult. It works. Start by saying, God, I want to thank you. And start thanking God. It doesn't take much. Start thanking God for those things and those persons and those situations and those blessings that have been, and start enunciating. And isn't it interesting in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Even when we come into the house of God, we're not supposed to walk in here with all of our gripes. Or whatever our week may have shaken down, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Start every time of prayer. It's the way I do it. And I've done it for 50 plus years now. God, I want to thank you. And I start enunciating the things I thank him for. And things that haven't always been exactly, they still aren't exactly the way we want them. But we thank him. And as we begin to thank him, things begin to shift. Things begin to change. Because we begin to take the focus off of ourselves. And we begin to pivot onto the greatness and the goodness and the grace of our God. And all of a sudden, now bear with me here. I'm going to say something really blunt. Instead of being a leech that just takes, all of a sudden, we become givers. Instead of just sucking it in, using it up, find another host, or it has been said that we live in a styrofoam generation. Cheap, use it, discard it. No, we become people that instead of being like the leech that says, give. Give. Give some more. We and start becoming investors. Investing in people. Investing in persons.
investing in life. I got to wrap up here in the next few moments. Let's stay with me here. Listen to this. You typically get out of life what you put into it. Generally, there's exceptions, and I know people always want to pick on the exceptions, but I'm just telling you that you're typically going to get out of it what you put into it. It always has amazed me how truly thankful people seem to be the luckiest. It really fascinates me. Now, you're looking at a person who doesn't believe in luck. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you're a thankful person, blessings will chase you down. Stuff is going to happen, sometimes more out of accident that way than you could ever make happen on your own the other way, by griping and grumbling and moaning and groaning and complaining. And isn't it interesting? The scripture says, do everything without murmuring. You know what murmuring is, don't you? I'm glad nobody in Montgomery County murmurs, but over in Fayette County where I live, we got a lot of that. And you get they walk in. And that stuff, let me tell you something, that just wears you down. That just wears you down. All that murmuring and griping and complaining and grumbling and carrying on. Listen, we get out of life what we put into it. And when we put in thanksgiving and gratitude and appreciation, and we start investing in people like that, you cast your bread out, it's going to come back. You're going to see things happen as a result of that attitude of gratitude that literally is going to transform people who don't even quite understand what that's all about. They're going to see it in you, and they're going to watch it in you. And somehow they're going to tap into that and gain great hope. And it isn't always about some great big thing. Sometimes it's just the little bitty thing. The little bitty word, the little bitty gift, the little bitty card, the little bitty encouragement. The attitude of gratitude. That's what real Thanksgiving is about. The God of heaven somehow has coupled so much of the blessings of his kingdom around this thing we call Thanksgiving. He has encouraged us to look to him with response and courage and faith, with an attitude of thanksgiving, realizing what is the ultimate source of all these blessings. You've been blessed to be a blessing. And one of the great blessings you can invest in others is by sharing thanksgiving and living out that virtue in your life. I'm going to leave this with you, then we're going to pray. As I shared with you already today, I challenge you to have an attitude of gratitude. And can I do one more thing? I want you over the next 3 or 4 days, somehow, some way, even if it's not normal for you. Now, I realize some of us aren't as type A as others, and some of us are more shy and retiring. But I want to challenge you as each day dawns between now and Thanksgiving Day. I want to challenge you to pick out at least one person that you will rub shoulders with, and I want you to somehow share a word of appreciation with that person. And I realize it's maybe a new normal for some of us. Because some of us are like, well, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to say something that's going to make somebody uncomfortable. The thing we don't often realize is how the Holy Spirit will use us. Even when we don't even realize. My wife has a membership at a health club in our town. It's actually nationwide, but it's in our town. And there's a gal that some years ago, you can ask my wife about this when you get a chance, she was in one of those mud stashes. I don't know if you know what a mud stash is, but it's when they get real down and dirty. They go for several miles, and they crawl through mud pits and climbing over walls and stuff. And she trained for that and did that. She won't do it anymore. She did it a couple of times, and that's it. She started researching some stuff. Oh, my God, did I actually get down in that and do that? But during one of those events, she met a gal. She met a gal that... She knew that this woman was somehow connected to one of the churches in town, but didn't really say much about it, but had some connection there. That was no issue to us, because we're kingdom people, not denominational people, concerned about building God's kingdom, not just church, not just denominations of sorts. So that didn't make a difference to us. But God laid that woman on my wife's heart after doing this event with her, and some time ago, she said, I don't even know why I did it. She said, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just laid on her heart to get a basket of stuff together for this woman. She'd see her occasionally at the club, but didn't have a lot of contact with her, some, not a lot. But she said, I just felt like the Lord laid it on my heart to get this stuff together for this woman. Now, she knew the woman was connected to one of the churches in town and thought, well, probably need to do that kind of thing for her, and she actually was related to the pastor and family, but through bloodlines. She figured, well, you know, she probably has this kind of thing done for her, but the Spirit of God wouldn't let her get away from it. My wife's a shopper. I mean, she all year long, she watches for sales and clearances and stuff, and so when we get to the holiday time, we don't usually have to buy very much because she's been collecting all year long. She buys clearance stuff all year long, and then she puts these baskets together that are just amazing. She got one of those baskets together for that gal. And she felt the Spirit of God laid it on her heart. And she put stuff in there and all sorts of smelly good stuff and foofs and loofs and all kinds of different things and put it all together. And she saw her and she said, I made something for you. She said, I don't know what you think about that. She said, but can I bring it to you? And so they coordinated a time. What we didn't know is the woman had a really, really disabled son who was really, really going through a really, really bad place in his life. Multiple seizures every day. And this poor woman, you know, didn't quite know what to do. Really bad place. Really difficult thing. And so my wife put all this together, coordinated time, and brought it to her and said, listen, in the name of Jesus, I want to bless you with this. And to let you know, with this, I'm praying for you, praying for your family. Well, first of all, that woman said nobody ever done that for her, which surprised us because we knew her family connections, but found out later that her family connections, she'd almost been ostracized by her family because of legalism and various things that almost cut her off. She was an outcast. An outcast. In a ministry family, an outcast. And they wouldn't talk to her, wouldn't have anything to do with her. And she said, nobody's ever done anything like that for me. Nobody ever bought me these kinds of things. That's this real tough outer core and outer look. It opened up a conversation between them that went beyond anything they'd done in the mud pit. It gave her an opportunity to start pouring herself into that woman's life. Now let me tell you, it didn't cost a lot, but it was of eternal value. We're going to pray now for you, your loved ones, your family, where you work, where you live. I'm going to pray that God use you. That these next four days, you're going to find somebody to commend, compliment. I don't care if you got to wait until you go to the convenience store, you know, late in the day. Don't let those next 4 days pass without picking out somebody and saying something encouraging, a blessing,
an investment of life and faith. I'm going to pray that God is going to use you. Just like that situation I described that happened in my wife's life that had made that has been an ongoing value. It's still ongoing. It's still taking place. It didn't cost much, but it was of eternal relevance. I'm going to pray for you these next 4 days that as you make an investment in somebody, God may lay it on your heart to call somebody. Call them. Don't talk a lot. Just say, hey, God's laid you on my heart. I was just thinking about you. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm concerned about you. Is there anything I can do? Is there anything you want me to pray with you about? We're going to ask God. And I'm going to ask God right now for Him to so lay persons on your heart that even if it's a little bit out of your element, that you're just going to take up this challenge. And we're going to believe for things to happen. Would that be all right? Would that be all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be thankful people. Really. Maybe we have spent far too much time grumbling and complaining about things we wish that were different. Father, we make a decision today to start investing toward the way we want things to be, not the way they are. And we're going to do that by reaching out of ourselves toward others, investing in their lives and investing in their families and investing in their businesses. We're going to find a way to encourage somebody that maybe we don't even know what it is they're going through and what road they're walking down. I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that every person that sounded my voice over these next 4 days, that as they begin to say something encouraging and commending and positive to someone they walk up to or see in a store or where they're pumping gas or where they're working or in their neighborhood or where they're living, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that something supernatural will happen the moment they determine to be a vessel of your Spirit. Whoever they talk to, wherever they go, Father, lead them to people that need it more than they even recognize. Maybe they don't even know anything about them. But I pray that you will send them forth like your own emissary, like your own, almost as if they were doing the work of a messenger of the kingdom. Use them like that. May they even with their own eyes see people say, I don't even know why you would have said that to me, but don't you know how much I needed to hear that today? Lead them to hurting people. Lead them to lost people. Lead them to truly needy people. And Father, through this process, change our attitude so that, Lord, we might start every day and end every day with thanksgiving on our lips, in our hearts, pouring out of our lives. Father, I praise you for what you're going to do. I just already sense in my spirit that you are going to do something in persons' lives through these little tender touches, these random acts of kindness, that, Lord, is going to catch us and it's going to remind us that, Lord, you are the God of thanksgiving. And we thank you with everything that is within us. We praise you from the very depth of our soul. Use us as only you can. Anoint our words, our hands, our lives. And Father, I pray, Father, for the glory of your kingdom, may some of those very people that are touched this week by these men and women, may they find their way into this church and other churches like this one for the sake of their own souls. So help us, God, we ask you.